Dr. Pam Peek, founder of the Peak Performance Center and renowned nutrition and fitness expert, and Michelle King Robeson, founder of EmpowHer.com and leading women's advocate. Cut through the confusion and share the naked, bottom line truth about all things woman. It's Her Radio.
Well, hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and today I'm flying solo as Michelle is off getting awards for all the good things she does. Well, binge eating. I bet you've been reading about it in the news. There's hot new neuroscience explaining what's going on in our body and our brain. Why is it that we overeat all the time? And there are also some really weird myths out there, some dangerous ones too, that are just plain not right. We're going to discuss four dangerous myths associated with binge eating, and the only one in the whole world who can help us with this one is my dear, wonderful friend, Shavice Turner, who is founder of the Binge Eating Disorder Association, which was founded in June of 2008. As she was recognizing the need for an organization to advocate on behalf of individuals affected by binge eating disorder and all of the providers who treat them. You know, Shavice has had a lifetime of living with binge eating disorder herself and an amazing, well-rounded career in healthcare, pharmaceutical, politics, and nonprofit arenas that have really helped shape her role as a leader in this field. So, Shavice, welcome to Her Radio as we look at the four dangerous myths associated with binge eating. Welcome to the radio show, and we're going to start with the first one. Binge eating isn't a real disorder?
Well, thank you, and this is one of my favorite myths to debunk because I've heard even doctors say that, you know, this is just, we're pathologizing gluttony. We are not pathologizing gluttony. This is a true neurobiological disorder that has psychological underpinnings and is really, it can be dangerous if not treated properly. So it is not about willpower. It's not about weight. It is about, calming anxiety in the act of binge eating. And then also, you know, as we look to recovery, honoring our body, acknowledging that our body is our home and, really moving toward a place of body acceptance. So we're trying to overcome those neurobiological aspects of this. And we know also there's a huge number of environmental factors, from trauma to the food environment and so on and so forth. So, you know, this is a real problem. It's real to the people experiencing it. I have been there, and this is definitely a myth.
Well, the other thing too is that the DSM code for binge eating disorder was just pronounced this past. It's almost a year ago in it June is. Of 2013. Absolutely, and so now absolutely. It joins other disordered eating like anorexia, bulimia, and the rest of it. And people now have an insurance reimbursement code as well. So binge yes. eating is not something that should be taken lightly. This is a real disorder. Let's go to the next one. Oh, come on. Binge eaters should just diet and get over it already.
Right. It speaks back to the willpower issue. We have a lot of evidence showing us now that behavioral weight loss and, you know, diet plans and so forth do not work to, quote-unquote, cure binge eating disorder. In fact, they can entrench the disorder. They can make it worse. So we really have to be focused on the psychological aspects of this disorder. And there's going to be a lot of changes in a person's life as they find recovery, may or may not include weight loss. But if we can get our brains working in a proper way, and we're getting the right nutrition, and we're moving our bodies, we're going to live in a body that's much healthier anyway. But we've got to be really, really careful about prescribing weight loss as a cure for this disorder.
Yeah, I think it basically involves phases. The first phase is really understanding that binge eating involves psychology and biology, that this isn't just some, you know, gluttonous affair, and that this isn't just cured solely by one thing or the other. It's got to be everything. This is a holistic, integrative approach that people need. They also need experts who understand this disorder working with them. And that's one of the very important points, too. Well, let's go to the third one. Binge eaters are all fat.
I think because the majority of us are in the overweight and obese category, there is about 70% who are in those two categories. You know, people do believe that binge eating disorder is only those in the obese category. But in fact, 30% are just a normal, what we would, you know, consider by BMI standards, a normal weight. And there's actually, in the studies, there's 1% who are actually underweight. So, you know, even though this is unlike bulimia, and where there are behaviors that take place after a person binges in order to get rid of the food and the calories, binge eating disorder does not involve that part, but there's a lot of restriction that goes on in dieting, and it depends where the person is in the cycle of the disorder, how long they struggled with it. There's a lot that goes on, but we are not all obese.
Okay, and that's a very important point. You know, I treat binge eating disorder, and I would say one of my most extraordinarily, you know, intense bingers is a size 4. What she does is she basically just restricts unbelievably. She has massively disordered and chaotic eating. There are days when she doesn't eat. There are days when she crash diet and back and forth. This is before I met her. Now she's calming down. We're getting to the source of all of this, again, because she's anesthetizing pain and angst. Let's go to number 4. Surgery is the best recovery option. We're talking about bariatric surgery.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to show my bias here. You know, I understand that there are a lot of concerns with obesity, and we know that some people do experience health problems with obesity. You know, but this is difficult. This is difficult because if the binge eating is not addressed prior to having surgery, you know, we see all kinds of problems from people who are purging after surgery, whether they mean to or not. But for those who have not had any sort of treatment, you know, they may go from having binge eating disorder to having a form of bulimia. And God forbid, we've even seen people become vastly underweight after surgery. We also see cross addictions where people become alcoholic or drug addicted.
Right.
Absolutely. There's a lot of concerns, and we really should be screening and treating people before this is ever considered.
Well, you know, they're doing a little bit better with that, not the world's greatest. There's a wonderful woman whose name is Frances Kuffel, K-U-F-F-E-L. She wrote an award-winning book called Passing for Thin. She's one of my dear, dear friends. She had a one-liner that was phenomenal. She said, you know, bariatric surgery is GI surgery, not brain surgery. And so, you know, when you come out of surgery, you still have the same head. Your body may be changed, and you dropped a few, but it's all going to come back because your brain didn't swing with it. I want to thank you so much. Shavice Turner, the founder of Binge Eating Disorder Association. Go to BETA.com to learn more about her terrific work. Thank you so much for honoring us with your wisdom. I'm Dr. Pam Peek on Her Radio. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Stay well.